You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. You might have heard on the news this week that auto sales slipped more than expected. That's the fourth month in a row of declining sales. And Wall Street responded. Share prices of the big three took a hit. Daniel Howes with the Detroit News wrote a column analyzing what's happening, and he's here now to fill us in. You wrote a good news, bad news scenario. Well, let's start with the good news.
Well, I think the good news is that the companies continue to be selling cars at a pretty high level. The street reacted in a very negative way because there's more evidence that the sales pace is slowing down. But we're at historically very high levels, over 17 million cars and trucks. I think the bad news is implicit in all this is that investors are not buying this whole notion that General Motors and Ford, to name two, are going to be serious players in mobility and autonomous vehicles, and that somehow is going to change the way in which they are valued in the marketplace. And that's very difficult for the companies because they think they're making a different value proposition argument to investors, and investors are saying, we don't buy it.
I want to get into that a little further, but from the investor's perspective, I mean, we saw some record sales. Mm-hmm. They know that couldn't go on forever. Mm-hmm. So why this response?
Well, I think you have a real dichotomy in the automotive marketplace. And I don't mean necessarily the selling of cars, but among the companies. You've got a company like Tesla, which is a pure electric car maker that has an average transaction price of close to $100,000. And yet it's viewed as the most, if not the most valuable American car company, very close to the most valuable American car company. Its shares are trading over $300 a share. Compare that to a Ford, which I think was closing somewhere around 11 or 12 bucks. It's mind-boggling to see the differentiation between the two and where investors are putting value. And they're saying that this electric car that's being sold for close to $100,000 and is hoping to come out with a $40,000 electric car is as valuable as General Motors or as Ford. And it really shows the cleavage in the automotive marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, there are some questions about how profitable Tesla can be. Mm-hmm. What advantages do the big three have over Tesla?
Well, one of them is scale. I don't think there's any question about it. They can produce vehicles at scale and profitably far more easily than Tesla can. I think one of the stories of the whole, what I've been writing about a lot over the last year and a half, the battleground between Detroit and Silicon Valley, is that a few years ago, Silicon Valley looked at Detroit and said, listen, you knuckleheads blew everything. Anybody can build a car or a truck. 2 years later, I think they've come to the conclusion, this is a lot harder to do and to do it repetitively and to scale than they had thought. And as we move down this whole autonomous vehicle mobility continuum, I think one of the things that has become very clear to me, and as I talk to more and more people on both sides of this equation, is that no place and no company can do it all. Not a General Motors, not a Ford, not a Tesla, not an Apple, not a Google. They all have their own real expertise of things that they are really good at. But that whole continuum, nobody really holds that whole space, which is why you see a lot of people cutting deals. FCA cuts a deal with Waymo, which is the new mobility unit of Google and its parent Alphabet Incorporated. Everybody is doing different kinds of things because they don't have the expertise and they're having to go out and buy it. Ford buys an artificial intelligence company. General Motors buys a thing called Cruise Automation, which is really going to be the brains of what they do on autonomy. And that I think we're going to see more and more of that. But one of the things that I think is important to people in Michigan is that the auto company's argument is, we're going to be able to change the investment thesis. We're going to be able to attract different kinds of capital. We're going to have higher returns because we're going into this kind of business. I think the reality is that may be true at some point. But today, the cars and trucks account for all of the revenue and all of the profitability. So they're, right now, autonomy and mobility is sucking up resources. It is not creating returns.
Sure, it's all just R&D right now.
Right.
Let's go back to that declining sales. How are General Motors, Ford, Fiat, Chrysler, how are they set for surviving a period of declining sales numbers?
It depends on where they decline. There's a couple of points. One is coming out of the meltdown and the bankruptcies. The break-even point for these companies was dramatically lowered. Some people have estimated that a Ford or a General Motors could be selling cars in a 12 million unit market. and still make a profit in North America, that the break-even point is somewhere between 10.5 and 11.5. So I think that is beneficial. So it's not like if they get down to 15 million, all of a sudden they're going to be losing money hand over fist as they did in the past. Second thing is it really depends on what the market is doing. Right now, the market with low gas prices and comparatively low interest rates is still sucking up a lot of trucks and SUVs and crossovers. What it's not buying is cars. That, from an automotive perspective and a company perspective, is a good thing. Why? Because they have trucks and SUVs have higher margins in general than cars, and they also cost more, so you get more revenue on every unit that you sell. So one of the Ford executives said, I think it was last month, he said, if you told me to pick, he says, I would like to have trucks, SUVs, and cars all up in sales. But if I had to pick one to not be up, I'd pick cars. Why? Because trucks and SUVs are what drive the top line and the bottom line in these companies. And it's not just GM and Ford, it's also at FCA, which is, as a lot of your listeners may know, they've stopped making cars in the United States.
Right, just taking themselves out of the competition completely.
Exactly right. Because I think they've made the decision that lower fuel prices is not an aberration. It's at a minimum, it's a midterm condition in the marketplace. With American oil production being what it is, it's had a dramatic effect on the price of fuel around the world.
Daniel House is business columnist for Detroit News. Today's column is titled, Slowing Auto Sales Reveals Detroit Weakness. Hey, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Lester.